fucking racist.
You guys are here?
He's not a sprint.
All right, so let's say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf Yud Tes. We left off, however, on Yud Ches Amud Beis. All right, a lot to do. Tanya Rabbi Shimon, I'm Rabbi Shimon. So we'll say it's trying to, I think it's probably easier to count from the top of the page. It's 14 lines down from the top. 14 lines down from the top, about 7 lines up before it gets wide. So says the Gemara, Tanya, I'm Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said the following. Oh, thank you. So Daf Yomi today is sponsored by Hananya Merav Lasker for the Refuah Shlema of Merav's father, Gedalia Ben Hena, and the Refuah Shlema of Rabbi Shlomo Price, Shlomo Yosef, Yoel, excuse me, Ben Chaya Lea. That are the merits of our Talmud Torah. Everyone has a Refuah Shlema. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Shammah Rabbi Shimon, Arba'a Dvarim Hayu Rabbi Akiva Dorish, Ve'in Ani Dorish Kmosar. So Rabbi Shimon said, there are four things that Rabbi Akiva used to darshan, and I don't agree with his rushes. What are they? Now, I will say it all comes down to the darshan of this particular pasuk. Tzom HaRevi'i, the fast day of, the fourth fast day, Zeh Tes B'Tamuz. This refers to the ninth of Tamuz. What happened on the ninth of Tamuz? Shebo Hufka Ha'ir. The ninth of Tamuz, I will say, was the day that the city of Yerushalayim was breached. This is during the first temple era. Shene Emar, because the pasuk says, Baravi'i betisha l'chodesh v'aychazek harav ba'ir, v'lo hayolechem la'am ha'aretz v'atibaka ha'ir. V'amai karele revi'i. I said, why does it call it the fourth month? Revi'i l'chadoshim. Rebbe said, because again, it refers to the fourth month from months. What does that mean? That when counting from Nisan, so Tamuz is the fourth month. So we'll say again, just to reorient us a little bit over here, what the Gemara is quoting, remember, this is Rabbi Shimon saying four things Rabbi Akiva darshaned, and I did not darshan like him. Rabbi Akiva is darshaning the pasuk that the Gemara quoted yesterday, the pasuk from Zechariah that goes through all of the fast days. So the way Rabbi Akiva is darshaning again the first of the fast day is that it refers to the ninth of Tammuz, which was the day that the walls of Yerushalayim were breached during the times of the first Beis HaMikdash. Next, Tzomach HaMishi, what is the fast of the fifth month? Zeh Tisha B'Av. This refers to Tisha B'Av, first wide line. Shebal Nisraf Beis Elokim. This was the day in which the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Va'amai Karele Chamishi. Why does it call it the fifth month? Chamishi L'Chadoshim. Because Moses is referring to the fifth month, counting from Nisan. Tzomach Shevi. What is the seventh fast, or the fast of the seventh month? Zeh Gimel B'Tishrei. Or really, we call it the seventh fast. This refers to the third of Tishrei. Shebo Nerag Gedalia ben Achikam. This was the day in which Gedalia ben Achikam was assassinated. We also remember Gedalia ben Achikam was essentially the Jewish governor over Eretz Yisrael. So who was he killed by? Umi Hargo, who killed him? Yishmael ben Netanyo. So Yishmael ben Netanyo killed him. The Gemara says, Lamdecha, this teaches us, Sheshkula Misasan Shal Tzadikim Kisrefas Beis Elokim. Since this fast day is mentioned right after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, it teaches us that the death of the righteous is as traumatic for us as the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. As well, so remember, these fast days are mentioned one after the other. Again, there's a lot we learn from Gedalia ben Achikam as well. Gedalia ben Achikam was told in advance that Yishmael ben Netanya wanted to kill him, but yet again he refused to be accepted to be makabel b'lashon hara. So the Gemara says, you see from here also that there's a concept that a person should not be overly righteous as well. Anyway, the Gemara goes on. Somha Siri, the tenth fast, Za'asara b'Teves. That refers to again the tenth of Teves. Shebo Samach Melech Bavel al Yerushalayim. This was the day in which the king of Bavel laid siege to Yerushalayim. Shnei Emar. The word of God came to me in the ninth month, in the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth of the month, Lamor, saying to me, Ben Adam, ksav l'cha shem hayom hazeh, man, record the name of this date, etzem hayom hazeh, samach malach bava al Yerushalayim, because it was on this day that the king of Bavel laid siege to Yerushalayim. By my Carly Asiri, why does the Navi call it the 10th month or the 10th? Asiri the Chadashim. It is the 10th month when counting from Nisan. So the Gemara says, "Hello, Haya Ra'i Lichtov Zerishon." Now, also, what's interesting is, so now we've gone through all of these dates. What's fascinating is the last date mentioned in the Pasuk in Zechariah is the Tzom HaAsiri, the fast day of the 10th month. The 10th month is Asara B'Teves. Asara B'Teves is the fast day in which Melech Bavel, the king of Bavel, laid siege to Yerushalayim. And yet what? Chronologically, that is the first event that occurred. Chronologically, it was the laying of the siege to Yerushalayim that preceded all of these other events. And yet what? And yet it's written last in the Pasuk. So the Gemara says, "V'lama nichtav kan?" Why is it written here? K'dei lahazdir chadoshim kitiknon. Because we're both saying Rabbi Akiva's model, Rabbi Akiva believed that the pasuk quoted all of the events in what we'll call a calendrical chronological order, not a chronological order in which they occurred, but a calendrical order of the months. Even though what? Even though in fact the pasuk is not recording it in the actual chronological order of events. So we'll say we're on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. We're a little bit behind. Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. 2, 4, 6, 8. 10 lines into the wide lines. So also remember, now comes on Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, I don't agree with Rabbi Akiva's. The Rabbi Akiva understands the dates in this pasuk. Ella, rather, I believe, Somha Asiri, that when the Navi says the 10th fast, Zechamisha B'Teves, he says, so Rabbi Shimon says, I believe that refers to the 5th of Teves. What happened on the 5th of Teves? Shebo Basa Shemua Legola, Shehuk Sa'ir, because it was on that date that word got out, that word was brought to the diaspora communities that Jerusalem had fallen. Shina Emar, Vahibeshtes, Veshara Ba'asiri, Bechamish Lechodesh, Legolosenu, Bo'ilai Apolit Mishlam, it was in the 12th year, in the 10th month, in the 5th of the month, that we were in exile, that the Apolit, the survivor, came from Jerusalem, Lemor, Huk Sa'ir, that the city has fallen, Va'asu Yom Shmua Kyom Sreifa. And they made the day that they heard the news as they treated it like the day of the destruction itself. Panirin Dvarai Midvara, Bishim Sarabosa. Again, according to Rabbi Shimon, Somaha Asiri doesn't refer to Asara B'Teves. Somaha Asiri actually refers to what? The 5th of Teves, which was when the people in the outlying communities outside of Yerushalayim heard that Yerushalayim was destroyed. And Rabbi Shimon says, I think my interpretation is better. Why? Sha'ani Omer Al Rishon Rishon, Va'al Achron. Because according to my interpretation, the pasuk follows in actual chronological and not just calendrical order. However, Rabbi Akiva says, "V'omer arishon achron va'achron rishon." But according to Rabbi Akiva, actually the events that occurred first are listed last, and the events that occurred last are listed first. But elishumon l'seder chadashim, that Rabbi Akiva feels strongly that the pasuk must reflect the calendrical reality, even though it does not reflect a chronological reality. I, on the other hand, says Rabbi Shimon, go ahead and count it really chronologically, in chronological order, in accordance with the way the events actually unfolded. Okay, so fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva as to how to darshan the pasuk in Zechariah. Itmar, Rabbi Chanina will say had a machlokes. So what was the machlokes? So Itmar, Rabbi Chanina, Amri Batla. Excuse me, actually, before we get to Machlokes, Rabbi and Rabbi Chanina both said, Batla Megillas Tainis. They hold that Megillas Tainis was Batla, was Batla, was negated. I will say, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Batla Megillas Tainis. What is Megillas Tainis? I will say, you would assume that Megillas Tainis sounds like a Megillah scroll that has a series of fast days in it. In fact, it's just the opposite. He writes, Batla Megillas Tainis, Yamim Tovim Shekavu Chachamim. This was a scroll that contained a list of Yamim Tovim that the rabbis established, Al Yedei Nisim She'iru Bahem, and it had a list of days on which miracles occurred, and the rabbis established them as Yamim Tovim. So why is it called Megillas Tainis? The Asrum B'Tainis. Why? I will say because these were days on which you were not permitted to fast. Days in which you were not permitted to fast. The Yeshman af behesped. There were days you can't deliver eulogies. The Kassan b'Megillah, Achos, and they wrote all of these items in one Megillah, in one scroll. Alin yomin delolis alabahu achshav shechara habayis batlu umutarin behesped ubatanis. So we'll say, here's what we have. Rabbi Chanina Kavalonian say that even though there is no longer a Beis HaMikdash, we still observe the days in Megillas Tanis. What that means, Rabbi say, is that these days that are listed as Yomim Tovim, we'll discuss some of them because of events that occurred, you may not fast on these days, nor may you deliver eulogies on these days. However, Rav and Rabbi Chanina say the Megillas Tanis was batal. Rabbi Yochanan Rav Shimon Rabbi Yochanan Rav Shimon Levi say lo batal Megillas Tanis. They say no, Megillas Tanis is not batal. Rav of Rabbi Chanina amri batal Megillas Tanis. So why do Rav and Rabbi Chanina hold that Megillas Tanis is batal? Hachli Kamran, this is what they mean to say. This is what they say. Bizman Shiyish Shalom. So also remember, what did we say yesterday about the fast days enumerated in the Pasuk in Zechariah? When there is Shalom, also remember, Shalom means, again, absence of governmental decrees, existence of Beis HaMikdash, then what? Then the fast days will be celebratory days. Ein Shalom, when there's no Shalom. So, then ultimately what? There is a fast day. Bahanach Nami Kihani. And therefore, Rabbi Osai, Rav and Rabbi Chanina hold that the days listed in Megillas Tainis are like the fast days listed in the Nevi'im. Essentially, when there's a Beis HaMikdash that's in existence, so ultimately, again, they're celebrated. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, they're not celebrated. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon Levi say, Lo bat la Megillas Tainis. No, Megillas Tainis is not batal. Why? Honey, who did tell him Rachman of being a Beis HaMikdash? Because Rabbi Osai, it is the fast days mentioned in Zechariah that the Navi links to the temple. Aval hacha hanach kidekaimi kaimi. So Rabbi Osai, the reason why it's the Navi itself that links the fast days to the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, because in reality, the fast days themselves are linked to events that surround the Beis HaMikdash. So it makes sense by them to say that when the Beis HaMikdash stands, when the Beis HaMikdash does not stand, so these days are fast days. When the Beis HaMikdash does stand, they're not fast days. But the truth is, the days listed in Megillas Tainis are truthfully independent of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, Rav, who were the other two? Rav Rami Chanina, and then Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi say that even when the Beis HaMikdash does not stand, these days are still reckoned as Yamim Tovim. Okay, so both sides, fundamental machlokes, as today, in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, do we still observe the days listed in Megillas Tainis as Yomim Tovim or not? That's the machlokes. Massive, now both sides, again, just to understand, the nafkamina is what? The nafkamina is, let's say I have a day that's listed as a Yom Tov in Megillas Tainis, and I want to fast on that day. Am I permitted to fast on that day or not? That's the fundamental machlokes. Masir Rav Kahn. Rav Kahn raises the kasha. Maisa the Gazru Tainis Bechanik Kabalud. It once happened that they established a Yom Tov. They established a fast day. They decreed a fast day in the city of Lud on Chanukah. And I will say, Chanukah and Purim are two of the days listed in Megillas Tainis. So they went ahead and they established a fast day. Something happened, whatever it was in Lud, and they established a fast day and Chanukah. And what happened? The Yorad Rabbi Eliezer Berachatz. Rabbi Eliezer went to the bathhouse to wash. Rabbi Yeshua got a haircut. I will say, now the fact that they did this indicates that what? They did not observe the fast day. Normally on a communal fast day, you would not do these things. The fact that these rabbis did these things indicated that they did not accept the fact that it was a true communal fast day. And in fact, Rabbi Eliezer and Rav Kahana said to the townspeople, Su'u v'his'anu amashe sanisem. Now you have to go out and what? You have to go out and you have to fast for the fact that you fasted. Right? Because again, you inappropriately fasted on Chanukah. Therefore, you should go back out and fast for the fact that you fasted. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here, according to this episode, that Megillas Tainis does still apply even now, even in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, because they were saying you still have to observe Chanukah. To which the Gemara says, no. Shiny Chanukah. Chanukah is different. You know why? The Ika Mitzvah. Because they will say Chanukah has a mitzvah associated with it. It's not just the pshat that Chanukah was a daily observance, but rather, or was an observance of a day, but rather Chanukah also has a mitzvah. So now the perhaps the Gemara is positing that even if you want to say that Megillas Tainis is batal, something that has a mitzvah associated with it is not going to be batal. To which the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye, viti batal ihi, viti batal mitzvasa. That's not a good answer. So say that if Megillas Tainis is really batal, then what? Chanukah should be batal, and the mitzvahs associated with Chanukah should be batal as well. Elo Amar Rav Yosef, shiny Chanukah, demifirsam nisa. Now this is Rav Yosef, that's what? Chanukah is different. Do you know why? Chanukah is different ultimately because there's pirsume nisa. Rashi says, what is pirsume nisa? It's almost right across in Rashi. Demifarsi nisa, kivahu goloi v'chol Yisrael, ayideh shenahagu boha mitzvos. What Rabbi is saying is Chanukah has become so embedded within Jewish practice. Everybody does it. Everybody observes it. Probably also because it has a mitzvah associated with it. Therefore, it's not appropriate to negate something like that. Okay. So the Gemara goes right there. Mostly Rav Acha Bar Huna. So mostly remember, what we have over here is a fundamental dispute. Are the days listed in Megillas Tainis, are they still observed as Yamim Tovim or not? Machlokes. On one hand, we have Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, Rav and Rabbi Chanina, who say it's batal. On the other hand, we have Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yoshua, and maybe you say that it's not batal. The Gemara is just trying to raise a series of questions to try to answer this particular issue. So now the Gemara raises another kasha. Moshe Rav Acha Bar Huna. Rav Acha Bar Huna raises the following kasha. Betlasa b'tishrei, on the third of Tishrei, batilas ad karta min shtaria, they negated, or they stopped the practice of writing God's name in documents. Now, what does that happen? So, let me explain to you what's happening over here. The Gemara is quoting over here a passage from Megillas Tainis. What does it say in Megillas Tainis? It says, on the third of Tishrei, we observe that day as a Yom Tov. Why? Why? Because ultimately, again, batilas ad karta min shtaria. We were successful in stopping the people from writing the name of God in their shtaros. Look at Rashi. Kach kasov b'megillah. This is actually written in Megillas Tainis. Loshon arami. It's written in Aramaic, meaning Megillas has written in the vernacular of the people. Batilas ad karta bitluas karshim shvayim in ashtaros. Ubikoshi yochlu levatel shekvarnah guam ukishashamu chachamim ubatlum hochshar darveinim benechshav lahem lanesu asu yomtov. So we'll explain in just a moment. But the idea is in Megillas Tainis it's written that on the third of Tishrei is a yomtov. You have to celebrate this day. Meaning, again, we don't fast on this day. No eulogies on this day. Why? Because the rabbis were successful in getting people to stop writing the name of God in their shtaros. What happened? Listen to this. So the Gemara says, "Shegazra Malchus Yavan Gzeira Sholahaskir Shem Shvayim Al Piyam." Because Rabbosai, the Greek government, the Greek monarchy, made a gzeira, an enactment, that the people, Jewish people, should not mention the name of God. Okay. Uki Shegavra Malchus Chashmonoi V'Nitzchum. But when the Chashmonoim were able to successfully overcome the Greeks, so the Greeks wanted to outlaw the use of the name of God in their documents. So what happened? The Chashmonaim, when they came back to power, legislated the fact that you should write the name of God in all of your documents. Why? Just in order to go ahead and reacquaint the people with making the name of God a common utterance. And what happened? Afilu b'shtaros v'kach ha'yu kosin. This is what they used to write. B'shnas kach v'kach li'yochanan kohen gadol. Lekel el yom, so they would date their documents. It was so and so year in the reign of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Because you also remember the Chashmonaim also became the kings. So so year in the reign of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Lekel el yom for the great God. When the rabbis heard this, Amru lemachar zepore eschovo. What's going to happen tomorrow, right? Reuben's going to pay off his debt to Shimon, and what's going to happen? What is he going to do with the document? He's going to throw a document in the garbage. So now you have a document that has the phrase Lekel Elyon sitting in the garbage. Ubitlum, and the rabbis stopped this practice. Va'osayom, and that day when they stopped the practice, aso yomtov, they made that day into a yomtov. So we'll say now watch this. The isakadai chabat Megillas Tainis. And if you want to say that in fact they really did negate Megillas Tainis, Kamaisa Batal, Achranaisa Mosifin, Rabbo said that would then mean that you, while you're trying to go ahead and negate the earlier practices in the Gilas Tainis, you're still going ahead and adding on new Yamin Tovim, meaning it doesn't make sense. If you're trying to negate Megillas Tainis, you're not going to start adding on additional days of Yom Tov. So Yomar says, no. Achamai Askinon, when did this enactment take place? Bizman Shevei Samikdash Kayim, top of your test. When did this take place, Rabbi Sai? This took place when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. If there's one thing that everybody agrees with, it's what? That Megillas Tainis was in effect when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. Therefore, again, this decree was legislated when the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. So Yomar says, 1 second. The Seifoklei, the Havilei Yom Shin Neherag Bo Gidaya Ben Achikam. But there also says, Yomar, a third of Tishrei, that date sounds familiar. What's the third of Tishrei? Tzom Gedalia. And I will say, watch this. Now, if it's Tzom Gedalia, okay, get ready. If it's Tzom Gedalia, and the Beis HaMikdash is standing, then what is the status of that day? That's a Yom Tov. Remember, we just got finished saying that all of the Yom Tovim mentioned, all of the fast days mentioned in Zechariah, remember the Navi calls them a Tzom and a Yom Tov. So therefore, when the Gemara posited, when the Beis HaMikdash stands, all of those days are considered to be Yom Tovim. So now you're telling me that you just legislated that the third of Tishrei should be a Yom Tov, because that's when the rabbis were successful getting the people to stop writing the name of God in their common shtaros, therefore avoiding a chilul Hashem. But it's a Yom Tov anyway. Why is it a Yom Tov? Because it's the day in which Gedaliah ben Achikam was assassinated. Again, that's not a Yom Tov itself, but that day becomes a Yom Tov when the Beis HaMikdash stands. To which the Gemara says, look at Rashi, if the Beis HaMikdash was standing even without this new legislation, the days of Yom Tov, and remember, all the fast days become Yom Tov when the Beis HaMikdash stands. So which Gemara says, no, what happens? When the rabbis wanted to legislate this new Yom Tov, the reason they were legislating this Yom Tov, because Rav Osai, is the halacha is all of the days listed in Megillas Tainis as Yomim Tovim, meaning days that you may not fast and you may not eulogize. The halacha is that the day before them is also usher in fasting and eulogizing. We'll see why the rabbis did that in order to be mechazek, in order to strengthen their decree. Look at Rashi, lo nitzricha, hada hader kavom Megillas Tainis al dover zeh, ela la'as la'estor etmol, so interestingly enough, what the Gemara seems to be saying is the fact that the fast days turn into Yamim Tovim, that is a standalone idea. But the Yamim Tovim legislated in Megillas Tainis, not only are they not permitted in fasting, not only are you not fast on those days, but you may not fast on the previous day as well. Therefore, the rabbis had to re-legislate a new Yom Tov on the 3rd of Tishrei, not just for the 3rd of Tishrei, bless you, but in order to go ahead and ensure that you're not going to fast on the 2nd of Tishrei either. So Gemara says, 1 second. You wouldn't fast on the second day of Tishrei either. Why? Because it is the day after Rosh Chodesh. I guess, again, any biblical, any Yom Tov also will see that you're not going to fast the day before it and the fast and the day after it. To which the Gemara says, no. Rosh Chodesh Doraisa. The concept of Rosh Chodesh being a Yom Tov is a Doraisa, because the Torah calls Rosh Chodesh a Moed. Doraisa lo boi chizuk. And Rabbi said, biblical law does not need any additional bolstering. People treat it with a certain amount of covet to begin with, therefore it doesn't need bolstering. This sanya, hayomim ha'elak sub Megillas Tainis, because both of the Gemara now supports this idea. The days listed in Megillas Tainis, asurin bein lifnei bein la'achareyem. You may not, again, remember, the days listed in Megillas Tainis are Yomim Tovim. So not only may you not fast on the day itself, but what? You may also not fast on the days before, on the day before and the day after. No, it's the second day. But we observe it as Rosh Hashanah, but technically speaking, Rosh Hashanah technically is one day. It's Aleph Tishrei. So the Gemara says, Bin Lifnei Bin La'achareyim, Shabbos as Yom Tovim, on the other hand, Shabbos and Yom Tov, Heim Asurin, on Shabbos, so the Rebbe says, you may not fast on Shabbos and Yom Tov. However, Lifnei Bin La'achareyim Mutarin. But you may fast on the day before Shabbos, day after Shabbos, day before Yom Tov, day after Yom Tov, Ma Hefesh Bein Zelazat. So I will say, why is it that on the Yomim Tovim listed in Megillas Tainis, you may not fast before these days and after these days, and yet what? And on regular Shabbos and Yom Tov, you may fast before it and afterwards. To which the Gemara says, Halalu divrei Torah, ve'ein divrei Torah tzrich nechizuk, because Shabbos and Yom Tov are biblical holidays. Biblical holidays do not need any additional bolstering in order for people to take it seriously. However, Halalu divrei Sofrim, these days are rabbinic in nature, meaning the days listed in Megillah Sofrim, ve'divrei Sofrim tzrich nechizuk. But I will say, and rabbinic holidays, like the days mentioned in Megillas Tainis, do require extra bolstering. How do the rabbis provide extra bolstering? By what? By telling you that you may also not fast on the day before and the day after these days. Okay. So the Gemara says, "V'seifok lei tahavi le yom shlifnei yom shenerag bo gidai ben achikam." To which the Gemara says, "But 1 second. So let's analyze this. So now if the Beis Hamikdash is standing, then that means what? Som gidai is what Rabbi say. Som gidai is yom tov." So why don't you say if some gidal is yom tov, then it should be treated just like days of Megillas Tainis, in which case you shouldn't be able to fast on the second of Tishrei because it is the day before Gedai ben Achikam was assassinated. Amar Rashi, Gedai ben Achikam divrei Kabbalah, because I will say the notion that Gedai ben Achikam was assassinated on the second of Tishrei, on the third of Tishrei, is mentioned in the Nevi'im, with divrei Kabbalah ki divrei Torah, and words of the Nevi'im are like words of Torah. And therefore, the mice again don't require any additional chizuk. Okay, masiv rav tuvi bar masa. So we'll say, therefore, again, we don't really have a good raya. We don't have a good proof from this case of the third of Tishrei. So now, next, remember, we're still trying to figure out who is correct in this machlokes about Megillas Tainis. So the Gemara goes weiter. Masiv rav tuvi bar masa. Masiv Rav Tuvi bar Masna. Rav Tuvi bar Masna raised the kasha. The Esrim v'Timnia Bay on the 28th of this month, Rashi says over here, Esrim v'Timnia Bay ba'Adar called Megillas Tainis on the 28th of Adar. This is the 28th of Adar. This is written in Megillas Tainis. Asa b'surta tavsa liyudoi. There was good news that came for the Jews. That they don't have to separate themselves from Torah. What happened? Shegazra hamalchus gezer shali askew Torah, because also there was a decree. The Roman government legislated a new decree. Shali askew Torah, that the Jews can't learn Torah. V'shalo yamolu espenim, they may not circumcise their sons. V'sheyichalalu shabbosos, and they must desecrate the Shabbos. So also this was a heinous religious decree that was brought down by the Romans upon the Jewish people. Ma'asa, Yehuda ben Shemuel v'chaverav. So what did they do? Yehuda ben Shemuel v'chaverav halchu v'natlu etza mimatroni sa'achos shekol gidovi romi mitzuin etzla. So Yehuda ben Shemuel and his friends went to get advice from a certain Roman matron who all of the nobility of Rome was known to come to her. And I will say, you know, usually that's a euphemism. Right, they weren't coming for coffee, but they frequented her home very often. Because of that, she was privy to certain information that most other people would not have. So Yehuda and Shemuel and his friends come to her and say, "What should we do?" Armulahem, she said, "This is what you should do. Bo ve'figu balayla, go out and cry out at night." What did they do? Halchu ve'figu balayla. So we'll say, why at night? At night it's quiet, and if you go into the streets and you cry out, People will hear you. So what do? They went out and listen to this. They went out into the streets at night and they cried out, "Amru, Ish Shamayim, by the heavens, Lo achichem anachnu." They cried out to the Romans, "Are we not your brethren? Velo bnei av echad anachnu. Do we not hail from the same father?" Also remember, Rome is Edom. Edom comes from Esav. Esav comes from Yitzchak. We also come. Do we not come from the same father? Velo bnei im achas anachnu. Do we not come from the same mother, Rivka imenu? Why do you mistreat us? Why do you mistreat your brothers so much? We same father, same mother. Why do you single us out from all the nations for such terrible mistreatment? So apparently, again, their words struck a chord. Ubitlum, and the Romans negated this religious decree. And that day they made into a yom tov. So we'll say, now remember, so now this is recorded in Megillas Tainis. This is the 28th of Adar recorded Megillas Tainis. The Gemara says, 1 second. The Isak died Chabat Megillas Tainis. If you want to tell me that Megillas Tainis was negated, we no longer observe the days of Megillas Tainis. Kamaisa Batal. Achranaisim osifin. Rabbi say, then again, then why would you, if you're being mavatal the earlier dates, why would you keep on adding on new dates? Remember, this is already later on in Jewish history, so we'll just see a little bit. So if you're going to tell me that the dates that we're being mavatal Megillas Tainis, why would you continue to go ahead and create no Yomim Tovim? Maybe you'll tell me, no, this story also happened when the Beis HaMikdash was standing. What about, so we know, by the way, there was a yeshiva in Rome. There were Jews in Rome, even before the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Meir established the first yeshiva in Rome while the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. So maybe you'll say this was when the Beis HaMikdash was still standing. That can't be. You know why? V'ha Yehuda ben Shemua, Talmido shel Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Basar Hachi Hava. Because Rabbi said, we know that Yehuda ben Shemua was the Talmud of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir lived after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. I will say, how do we know? Listen to this. This is very interesting. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rabbi Meir Basar Churban Hava, Kama Doros, Taha Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Bimei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Chara Habayis. Rabbi Eliezer Talmidu Haya. Rabbi Akiva Talmidu Shabbi Eliezer. Kidarmino and Bashili Ba'ar Misos. Rabbi Meir Talmidu Shabbi Akiva. Kidarmino and Perak Kama. Deiravin. Kambaka Ushat Amotsi Rabbi Yishmael. Lifnei Rabbi Yochanan. Listen to this, Rabbi. So here's what you have. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was alive during times during the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has a Talmud by the name of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer was Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. Rabbi Akiva had a Talmud, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir had a Talmud. Rabbi Meir had a Talmud. Rashi says, oh, I'm sorry. Rabbi Meir Talmud is Rabbi Akiva, and right, good. So actually, we're going to see this now. Rabbi Akiva had a Talmud, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir had a Talmud, Yehuda ben Shamua. I will say, obviously, again, this is way after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Because remember, Yehuda ben Shamua is the primary character in this story, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Shamua is already Rabbi Meir's Talmud, who's a Talmud of Rabbi Meir's Talmud, Rabbi Eliezer, who's a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the ranking sage during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, which means this is way after Churban. So the Gemara says the following. This now we learned. Klei zechuch is shenikvu v'hitif l'socho eiver. It will say, if you have a glass utensil that was perforated and you filled it with lead, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel said, Yehuda ben Shamua metame mishum Rabbi Meir. And we'll say, this happens to be just an interesting case. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Yehuda klei zechuch is shenikvu, shenitmu'u, v'nikvan l'tara mitumasa. We'll say, listen to this. If you have a utensil, and the utensil goes ahead and is perforated, and you plug the hole. So remember, when it's perforated, it loses its status as a kli. But the halacha is, when you plug the hole back, it regains its status as a kli and retains its previous tuma. Or actually, I should say it's a machlokas. Let me say it differently. If you have a utensil and the utensil becomes perforated, and you can no longer use the utensil, the utensil was tame. It becomes perforated, and now what? Now you plug the perforation back up. The shayla is, what is the status of the kli? Does the kli revert back to its previous status and tummy, or do we say, no, this is a brand new kli? Now the halacha normally is by glass, that glass, once it's perforated, does not go back to its previous status. If you look at Rashi, Yehuda ben Shamua metame, lomar shechazul tumas in yishana, ba'af apish lo nagu shuv betuma, ba'af apish shen klein zuchuch is chozun tumas in yishana, kidar barakam de Shabbos, shlo gazur chazar tumas in yishana, ela be klima tachos, hanu nami hoil va ibram amido ki klima tachos damu, ta kol holich achar hamaymi. So also listen to this. So let me just tell you this outside. So the halacha is like this. If you have a kli, utensil becomes perfect. Kli is tummy. Utensil becomes perforated. If you go ahead and you plug up that perforation, the shayla is, what happens to that kli? So it seems to be that most opinions agree that if it was tame, then it becomes perforated, and you fill back the perforation, that the kli regains its previous status, including regaining what? Its previous tuma. However, again, glass seems to be the exception, that if you have a perforation in glass that was tame, then you plug up the hole, the glass does not regain its previous tuma for different reasons. However, again, what happens if you plug up the perforation with metal, with lead? So here you have Rehuda ben Shua saying in the name of Rabbi Meir, that's what? It regained its previous tuma. Why? Because, I will say, not because it's glass. But since, again, it is the lead that is allowing the utensil to be usable, it is considered to be like what? Like a metallic utensil, and therefore it regains its previous tuma. On the other hand, chachamim metarim. The chachamim say no, that it's tar. And I will say, the truth is, because why? The chachamim say it's not considered to be a metallic utensil, it's considered to be a glass utensil, and therefore does not regain its previous tuma. And I will say, for our purposes now, we're not interested in tuma tara. What are we interested about? That Yehudim and Shemua is quoting Rabbi Meir, which clearly puts him where? Way after the Beis HaMikdash, which now leaves us with our basic question, which is what? That if you hold that Megillas Tainus was really batal, then why are they legislating new Yamim Tovim way after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? Remember, so now we're making a new Yom Tov on the 28th of Adar because we avoided a Roman decree. If Megillas Tainus is batal, why are you making new Yamim Tovim? To which the Gemara says, Tanoi. In reality, this whole thing is a machlokes Tanoim. Disanya, Hayomim ha'elu aksum Megillas Tainus. One of, because we learned in Ebraisa, these days that are listed in Megillas Tainus, Bein Bizman Shei Beis HaMikdash Kayom, Bein Bizman Shei Beis HaMikdash Kayom, both in the times that Beis HaMikdash stands, as well as the times Beis HaMikdash does not stand, Asurin, these days are Asur. When we say Asur, which means they are Yomim Tovim, we treat them like Yomim Tovim even now, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, Divi Rabbi Meir, these are the words of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi says, Bizman Shei Beis HaMikdash Kayim Asurin, No, when the Beis HaMikdash stands, then they are Asur, meaning they're Yamim Tovim, because they're Simcha, Ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim Mutarin. However, if the Beis HaMikdash is not standing, these days are permitted. I will say, but what does permitted mean? Permitted means that you could fast on them, that you could deliver eulogies. Why? Because ultimately, again, we are in a state of Avelos. So I will say, the Halacha is, Megillas Tainus is bottle. V'hilchasa lo batlu. And the halacha is Megillas Tainus is not bottle. Exceptionally helpful. So the Gemara says, Kashi hilchasa. So what's going on over here? One, you tell me again Megillas Tainus is bottle. Then you tell me Megillas Tainus is not bottle. What's happening? Lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Kan v'chanaka upurim, kan v'shar yomei. To which the Gemara says, the reality is, there are certain parts of Megillas Tainus that are bottle, and certain parts of Megillas Tainus that are not bottle. Or in other words, on both sides, there are only two Yamim Tovim that we keep from Megillas Tainus, and they are Chanukah and Purim. But all of the other, and that's what the Brice means when it says Lo Batlu, they were not negated. But for all the other days of Megillas Tainus, we do not observe these days as Yamim Tovim, and therefore on all of these days, you are permitted to go ahead and what? You're permitted to go ahead and fast and deliver eulogies. And I will say, the common denominator also means Chanukah and Purim are what? Based on what we saw in the Gemara earlier, they're both days with mitzvos. Interestingly enough, they're both days with mitzvos. So that could also indicate, again, and therefore, again, because they have mitzvos, therefore, the Gemara said before, they have this piercing. They have this, they're so accepted within Jewish practice. Therefore, even when everything else in Megillas Tainus is bottle, these 2 days remain. Okay, and I will say, that is really how we paskin. Megillas Tainus as a whole is bottle in the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, except for Chanukah and Purim that remained with us. The Al Elo Mipnei Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah said that Beis Din sends out messengers on Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul, to tell people about Rosh Hashanah. And Tishrei, about for Takanas Avodah, so it says Takanas Avodah means what? Said people should know when Yom Kippur and Sukkot are. So the Gemara says V'chivan denafki luhu a'elul a'tishrei lamalu. The Gemara says like this, if they're already going out for Elul, why do you have to send them out again for Tishrei? The Gemara says, look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Not yet. So the Gemara says, V'ha Amar Rabbi Chanin, I will say, what does that mean? V'ha Rabbi Chanin Abakan, Amar Amar Rab, Mimos Ezra Ve'elich, Lo Matsinu Elul Mu'ubar. Rabbi say again, so now Rabbi Chanin Abakan says, that the truth is in the days of Ezra, Elul was not a pregnant month. I mean, I will say that for years, it's really for generations, Elul has been what? A 29-day month. So therefore, in essence, if you're sending messengers out for Elul, meaning to tell you when Rosh Hashanah is, you don't have, why do you have to send messengers out again when? For Tishrei. If we already have it pretty much established that Elul is always 29 days, all I really need to know is when Rosh Chodesh Elul was, and then I'll be able to know Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot very easily. To which the Gemara says, So, I'm Rabbi Mosi. Let me just read that again. Mimos Ezra the Eloch Lomatsinu Elo Moobar. So the Gemara says Lomatsinu the Lo Itzterich Ha Itzterich Ma'abinale. So Gemara says, what do you see from here? From this price, it says we did not find that Elul was ever a 30-day month. Elul was always 29 days. But the inference from that is what? If we had the need to make Elul into a 30-day month, we would have the ability. Rashi says, "Ha itzterich imishum yarka imishum masya." Rabbi, we'll see it in tomorrow's daf the reasons why you would need to make Elul into a 30-day month. But the point the Gemara makes over here, without getting into the reasons, is you see from here, if you would need to exercise that prerogative, you would have that right. So the Gemara says, "I, but hamakalkel Rosh Hashanah." But if you would do that, you would end up messing up Rosh Hashanah. Because Rabbi, remember, if you end up making Elul a 30-day month, the people in the outlying areas will not know about that. They'll know about it retroactively, but they will not know about it when it actually occurs. Why not? Because remember, witnesses will not reach them until a couple of days later. Look at Rashi. It'll turn out that the Bnei Agola will not have observed Rosh Hashanah on the right day if you end up making Elul a 30-day month, to which the Gemara says, Mutav tikalke Rosh Hashanah. It's so interesting. It is better that Rosh Hashanah gets messed up than what? Than all of the other Yomim Tovim. So look at Rashi for just a moment. So again, V'hal kamakalka Rosh Hashanah. I'm sorry, I read that already. So this is very interesting. Also, in light of such a fascinating statement, in light of the importance that we endowed Rosh Hashanah with over the last couple of blot, the Gemara says, better for Rosh Hashanah to be messed up than what? Than all the other Yomim Tovim. Now, the truth is, Rosh Hashanah never really gets messed up. Why? Because we're already observing Rosh Hashanah as a two-day Yom Tov already early on, even in Eretz Yisrael. So the truth is, Rosh Hashanah itself is never really getting messed up. But the point the Gemara is making over here is, we still need to send out messengers to tell you when the actual Rosh Hashanah was. Why? Because although, again, the statistical probability of Elul being a 30-day month is very low, we always pretty much observe Elul as a 29-day month. Nevertheless, because there is the possibility that it could be observed as a 30-day month, we have to send witnesses out. Furthermore, again, we'll give you a good deal for this, because what does the Mishnah say? Why do we send witnesses out on Rosh Hashanah for takanas hamodos? It was takanas hamodos means what? In order that the Yamin Tobin be established in the correct way. Look at Rashi. Dekanami, Delahachi Hashirabanan, Delalakalku Sharmoados, the Tiru Shera Shalamakulkalagola. So I'll say again, you're right, we send witnesses out on Tishrei not as much for Rosh Hashanah, but rather again in order to know exactly when Yom Kippur and when Sukkis are going to be. Okay. So it's just an interesting calendrical fact that Aloch Lamaisa again, Elul is almost always a 29-day month. But since there is a possibility, if the Beis Din felt fit, if they needed to make it a 30-day month, they would have that possibility. Therefore, in order for the Bnei Agola, for the people in the outlying communities to know for sure when Rosh Hashanah was, we send out witnesses on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei in order that they should know definitively when Yom Kippur and Sukkot are going to be. Fine. So furthermore, the Mishnah said we send out witnesses on Kislev for Hanukkah and Adar for Purim to know again when these holidays are. V'ilu nis'abra Hashanah yotzin av al Adar sheni b'pnei HaPurim lo katani. So also listen to this. Now what's interesting over here is, what doesn't the Mishnah mention? The Mishnah doesn't mention that if it were to be a leap year, that we send witnesses out for Adar sheni in order to let people know when Purim was. All the Mishnah says is that we send witnesses out for Kislev to tell them about Hanukkah, and on Adar for Purim. So Adar for Purim, the Gemara makes no mention of Adar Sheni. It only makes it sound like we go ahead and we send them out for Adar Rishon. But the Mishnah doesn't write that if it were a leap year, we would send witnesses out on Adar Sheni to let people know when Purim was. To which the Gemara says, Mas Nisin de lo ki Rebbe. Our Mishnah must not reflect the view of Rebbe. Because what does Rebbe say? This Sanya. Rebbe Omer Rebbe says, Im nis'abra Hashanah yotzin af al adar sheni mipnei apurim. Because Rebbe says, Rebbe will say, what? In a leap year, they would send witnesses out even for when? Even for adar sheni, not even. But they would send witnesses on adar sheni in order to know what? In order to know when Purim was. To which the Gemara says, Rebbe will say, again, it is interesting that our Mishnah makes no mention of adar sheni. Only says you send the witnesses out for Adar Rishon to Purim. So the Gemara says, perhaps the following machlokes, they're arguing about the following point. Demar Sabar, one opinion holds, kol mitzvos hanagos b'sheni, noagos b'rishon. One opinion holds, we'll say what? That all of the mitzvos that apply in Adar Sheni, in fact, what? Do apply in Adar Rishon as well. So we'll say, again, this would seem to be the view reflected in our Mishnah, that any mitzvah that applies in Adar Sheni also applies in Adar Rishon. Meaning what? Meaning what? Megillah. Megillah. So technically speaking, you can fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah even in Adar Rishon, which makes sense. Therefore, again, why? Therefore, our Mishnah makes no mention of Adar Sheni. Maybe because there was no need for them to go in and say the witnesses are Adar Sheni. Why? Because even if you read the Megillah on Adar Rishon, you're a Yotze. You're a Yotze. Umar Sabar. Not if you did it the first time. You don't have to do it. No, you don't have to do it twice. Correct. Either one. Umar Sabar and the other opinion holds. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Yogos Barishon. Yaakov Mordechai speaks to your point. Yogos Barishon, Rashi says, V'yotzi yudei chavasan bepurim sh'asa barishon. There you say, you need not read the Megillah again in Adar Sheni. Umar Sabar, the second opinion says, no, kol mitzvos hanagos b'sheni ein nagos b'rishon. But the other opinion of us, who we would identify now as Rebbe says, no, any mitzvah that applies in the second Adar does not apply in the first Adar, and therefore what Rebbe say, if you read the Megillah in the first Adar, you would not be Yotzei. And therefore, according to this logic, this is why Rebbe says what? That you have to send out messengers when? On Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, to let people know about when to read the Megillah. So Rebbe says, what the Gemara is suggesting right now is there's a fundamental machlokes in the Tanakama of our Mishnah and Rebbe, namely about how you treat mitzvos in the Adar Rishon Adar Sheni model. Our Tanakama of our Mishnah holds that when you have a second Adar leap year, any mitzvah that applies in the second Adar applies in the first Adar. Therefore, he says you could read the Megillah in the first Adar, and therefore you need not send out messengers in Adar Sheni. The next time you'll send out messengers is when? Is Nisan, to let people know about Pesach. Rebbe says, no, what are you talking about? When there's a leap year, the second Adar becomes the primary Adar, at least for mitzvah purposes. And if you did in the first Adar, you're not Yotzei. Therefore, you must send witnesses out Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, so that people know when to observe Purim. To which the Gemara says, no. Lo, the chuli alma mitzos hanoagos b'sheni, enoagos b'rishon, it's not true. Rather, everyone holds, that any mitzvah, that the mitzvahs that apply in Adar Sheni, do not apply in Adar Rishon. They don't apply in Adar Rishon, and therefore, again, Rabbi say, if that's the case, then why? So if everybody's agreeing to that idea, that Purim can only be observed in Adar Sheni, then we're stuck with the Kasha. What's the Kasha? Why doesn't our Mishnah say that you have to send witnesses out during Adar Sheni in order to go and let people know in Purim is v'hacha bi'ibur shana kamiflagi? And here, what are they arguing about? They're arguing about how to go ahead and conduct ibur shana, how to go ahead and intercalate the year. What does that mean? Disanya, kama ibur shana? How much is ibur shana? How much is a leap year? So the Gemara says, how much kama ibur shana? Lamid yom. It's 30 days. I mean, Rabbi said, what they're asking over here is, when you intercalate the year, when you create a leap year, how much is that leap month? How many days does that leap month have? So the Gemara says, one opinion says, Lamed Yom, it's 30 days. It's 30 days. Look at Rashi, just a moment, Rabbi said. Kama Ibar Hashanah, Yimei Adar HaRishon Sha'osa Osin Ibar L'Shanah. So Rabbi said, how many? It's actually interesting. The Gemara actually assumes over here that the leap month is Adar Rishon, not Adar Sheni. The leap month is Adar Rishon. So how long is the leap month? So one opinion says, Lamed Yom, it's always 30 days. The leap month is a fixed month, always 30 days. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, Chodesh, it's a month. It's a month. And I will say, Rashi says over here, we assume that a month means what? That a month means 29 days. Okay? So you have the first opinion saying the leap month is always 30 days. Reb Shimon Gamliel saying the leap month is always 29 days. My Shna Lamed. Right, so what's the difference when it's 30 days? Look at Rashi. Ma'ishna leman davar shloshim de'intzarach la'achzor v'lishloach shluchim al yom kiddush adar sheni. So Rabbi Osai, according to the opinion who says that the leap month is always 30 days, so why do you not have to send witnesses for adar sheni? Diyodi, because people know. Rabbi Osai, meaning what? If you say that the leap month is always 30 days, then there is no need to send witnesses again for when? For Adar Sheni. Why? Because when you send them out, when you send witnesses out to tell you when Adar Rishon is, people automatically know that when does Adar Sheni begin? 31 days later. 31 days later. Chodesh nami yadi. But you can make that same logic. If you hold that the leap month is a chodesh, which we're assuming now is what? Is 29 days, then same thing. As soon as you send the witnesses out for Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon, 29 days, or on the 30th day, people know that it's Adar Sheni. To which the Gemara says, Amar Papa, no, no, no. Man da Amar Chodesh, Ratza Chodesh, Ratza Shloshim. No, 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 boss. The opinion you hold me of Shimon Gamliel, who says that the leap month is a chodesh. What does chodesh mean, Rabosai? Chodesh is not a fixed amount of time. Chodesh is either what? 29 days or 30 days. Therefore, Rabosai, what the Gemara suggests over here is like this. We originally thought, remember what we're trying to figure out over here. Our Mishnah makes no mention of sending out witnesses for Adar Sheni in a leap year. We're trying to figure out why. So we wanted to suggest that perhaps the reason for that is what? Maybe the machlokas there is how you view Adar Rishon. If you could fulfill the mitzvahs of Purim in Adar Rishon. So if you hold, so the Mishnah holds, you could fulfill the mitzvahs of Purim in Adar Rishon. Therefore, there's no need to send out witnesses for Adar Sheni. The Gemara says, no, 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 that's not it. Everybody agrees that's what? When do you have to observe Purim? When do you have to observe Purim? In the second Adar, the Gemara Megillah says that's based on a different drasha, which is Somchim Geula LeGeula. We juxtapose redemptions, the meaning Purim always has to be in the other closest to Pesach. So that's off the table. So what are they arguing about? Maybe they're arguing about what? They're arguing about the nature of the leap month. So one opinion holds the leap month is always 30 days, no matter what. If the leap month, which is Adar Rishon, is always 30 days, then what? Then there's no need to send out witnesses for Adar Sheni. Why? Because you automatically know when Adar Sheni is. Remember, everyone agrees that witnesses are going out in Adar Rishon. Once witnesses are going out in Adar Rishon, if the leap month is a fixed amount of time, you need not send witnesses again. Rav Shimon Gamliel on the other hand holds that no, the leap month is a chodesh. What is a chodesh? Could be 29 days, could be 30 days. And therefore what? He's on record as saying you would have to send witnesses for Adar Sheni. Hey it, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi Mishum Kila Kadish Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi testified on behalf of the Holy Assembly, the Holy Kehila in Yerushalayim. Ashne Adarim Shemekhadshin also Biyom Ibureyhem. That on both others, that you go ahead and you sanctify them on the day of their Ibur. Look at Rashi. Shemekhadshin Osim Yom. What does that mean? That you Mekhadish them on Yom Ibureyhem. Yom Shloshim Kari Yom Ibur. We'll say, day number 30 is the Ibur day. Literally, Ibur is pregnancy. Right? It's called, day number 30 is considered to be the additional day of the month. Sha'osa osin Ibur lechodesh, kishem avrin oso. So this says, so Yoshua, Rabbi Shimon Levi is testifying that what did they do? Shemekanchen yom shloshim shalshtem l'rosh chodesh. Hanichnas yom, l'rosh chodesh hanichnas, yom lamed l'adar rishon, hu rosh chodesh l'adar sheni, v'yom lamed shal adar sheni hu rosh chodesh nisan. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, in name of the holy men of Yerushalayim, that the two day 30s are rosh chodesh. Meaning what? That the 30th day of Adar Aleph is considered to be Rosh Chodesh of Adar Sheni, meaning the first day of Adar Sheni, and the 30th day of Adar Sheni is considered to be what? The first day of Chodesh Nisan. Lememra, dechasirin avdinon, melein lo avdinon, is that to tell me, Darbosai, that Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni are always chaser months, are always 29-day months and never 30-day months. La'afuke medidoresh Rav Nachem Bar Chisda. So we'll say, listen to this. So therefore, this comes to exclude the drasha of Rav Nachman Bar Chisda. We'll say, actually, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stop over here. We'll stop right over here. So remember, just where we're leaving off. We're leaving off over here, right? By remember, we're trying to figure out, everything is focusing right now on why we are not sending out witnesses by Adar Sheni. So we've already established that what? It has nothing to do with Purim observance, because everyone agrees that you observe Purim in the second month. The truth is, again, now really what it has to, everything to do with is what? Is how you reckon the leap month. If you reckon the leap month as a 30-day fixed month, then the mice again, what? Then the mice, you'll never have to send witnesses for Adar Sheni. However, if you reckon it as Chodesh, like Rav Shimon Gamliel does, then you will have to go ahead and send witnesses because it can either be 29 or 30 days. Now, interestingly enough, what we leave off with is Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi telling us that Lemaisa, the two others, both Rishon and Sheni, are fixed months. They are always going to be 29-day months, which means, therefore, that the 30th day of Adar Rishon is going to be Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni, and the 30th day of Adar Sheni is going to be Rosh Chodesh Adar Nisan. Now, both say, if that's the case, then we're going to figure out the impact of that statement on our Mishnah, to be continued tomorrow. We are officially caught up. We're officially caught up.
Thank you.